My name is Shannon Cross. I'm the Baptist Collegiate Minister, one of the Baptist Collegiate Ministers at Tulsa Community College in Tulsa. On the blue list, I was listed as the director of TU, but that's not the case. But I wanted it to look like it was the case. Today, we'll be talking about understanding and reaching commuter students. I'd like to start out by talking about something I learned when I was in community college from Henry Blackaby. It was experiencing God was really big back then, and it was something that really stuck with me and it's continued to stick with me to this day, is that God is always at work around you. I learned that being discipled at TCC. Back then it was called. And I remember when I learned this, it was something that I'd never really thought about, but I should have known, that God is always at work around you. And I remember as soon as I learned that, I walked into the student union or the cafeteria there at TCC, and I looked around and I said, "All right, God, show me where you're at work around me." And I was amazed because for the first time I seen people sitting by themselves. I seen people with just the cares of the world on their shoulders. And I could tell they were lonely, and they all had these different problems. And I was just amazed because I was amazed that I constantly had missed out on that before. I just always the world just hanging out with my own little friends. And I totally missed out on that. So I learned at this time that God was always at work around me. And I also have continued to notice that God is always continually working. And so even today, I try to live this out in my life, working around me. Let me introduce myself. I didn't never plan on going to college. When I was in high school, I never thought about it. The only time I made the decision to go to community college is whenever I was in band. And you know when they have like senior day and your parents have Shannon Cross plays trumpet and he plans to attend. I was like, I need to have something because I'm going to be on MTV. It's not really going to work. But that's really what I wanted to do at that point. So I just put in there, I said, okay, I'm planning on going to Tulsa Junior College. And I just put that on there because I needed some plans so I would look like I had a plan for my life. And it was at that time that I realized that maybe there is something that I needed to do. So I enrolled at Tulsa Community College, and I started going, and here's the first thing I noticed, like the very first thing I noticed is there was a Christian organization on camp that sat at this, or on camp, on campus, that sat at this table every day, and I'd walk by them, and I wanted to be a part of them so bad, but I didn't have an in, break in, and so instead, I thought bad thoughts about them. Not for real, because you know if they were for real, they would reach out to me and let me become a part of them. And so every day, walking by them, wanting to be a part of them, find to myself that I didn't need to be a part of that. And I wanted them to reach out, and I just couldn't. I never could get that to happen. And I remember I had the speech class my very first semester, and this kid in there, his name was Damon, and he was everyone in the speech class called him Billy Graham, because one of the ways that he reached out to students is every speech was about the gospel. And before he would come in class, I'd be like, I wonder if Billy Graham today. And I felt bad because I was kind of too. I was kind of joking around too. I was like, yeah. And I was kind of jealous of him because I knew he was part of that organization and I wanted to be a part of that, and I just did not know how to break in. And so I remember every day, every time he gave a speech, he did that. And I started realizing that, hey, that's a way as that you can reach out to other students, is whenever God gives you any kind of platform, whatever class it may be, take it and run with it. And so that really impressed me. So anyway, algebra class, and this guy invited me to the BSU. And they were having it at Mazzio's in Tulsa, which is kind of weird, but that's where they had it. And so I said, I'll go with you, even though I wanted to go so bad. I didn't want him to know. I said, I will go with you if you promise not to leave me. I said, if you leave me, I'm gone and I'm never come back. Which is really weird because I'm a really outgoing guy. So that just, I don't know why that happened, but that's just, I said, I'll go, but you better not leave me. So I went, I met someone, and here's the first way that someone reached out to me was the next day I was in another class, and this guy seen that I was in another class. So he walked up to me and he said, hey, I noticed that you were at BSU last night. Why don't you come to the table? And I was like, score. Now, and this was like the most popular guy there. I was the big guy that everyone loved and hung around. So I went, and it was at that point that I realized that there's more to the Christian life than just being a Christian. I was developed a relationship with Christ. I was discipled. And so that's kind of where I came from. And now it's amazing because I developed a love for that campus. I was there for 4 years at a two-year school. And I went a little further. I actually stayed the last year president. You know, I could have went on, but I really didn't have any plans. I went to OBU after that, Oklahoma Baptist University. And the only reason I did that is because this guy wanted me to be his roommate, so he kept giving me the papers to fill out. Ended up there. But I really didn't have a plan for college. And I think that's important, which we'll find out with community students, is a lot of them are just going to go. We'll look at that. But now, let me just tell you, I pastored a church for 8 years. Them years, I felt God telling me to get involved with college ministry again. How I was going to do it, I talked to my old director, Steve, and then he hooked me up with these two right here, which is Tony and Melissa, and they needed help. And so they said, we need some help on Tulsa Community College and this campus. So it was amazing that God did that. So the first thing I want to say, God is at work in all your lives. And God is at work in mine. So I want to start asking this question. What are the different type of students that make up a community college? I was trying to come up with some of these in my head, and I'm sure you have some, but the first one I named was the next step students, which were the ones like me. I just needed something the next step. I'm graduating high school. I know that I've got to do something with my life, and I don't want to go to work yet. So the next step student, which is what it was. I needed a next step. And so I'd say these are the students that are going... They need something to do. That makes up a lot of community colleges, I've noticed. And so, my attitude is I needed to go to Tulsa Junior College. So I got it once and I was done. That's one of the students. These I call the next ones I call the I'm back students. And I think you probably understand what them are. The I'm back students would be those students that went to a major school. They lived like the prodigal son and they flunked out. And now that they're back at community college, I've seen that a lot. You know, generally you see them around the second semester of school. And these are some of my favorites, the letter jacket students. And these are the kind that they were kind of big on their campus, or they were big in their high school. So they come to TCC. I always notice this, or actually at NEO, it actually happened too. And when it's first cold spell, you see them wearing their letter jackets because they were somebody. And they think that when they get to community college, they're still going to be around their same friends. They're going to be somebody. But they're only, you know, 2 or 3 days, and they realize real quick that they're not anybody. They're just starting all over. I have the ones that I need more gooder grades or more better grades. I know. I just thought it would be funnier to say more gooder grades, you know, which is why they're back. They just need to get their grades up. So they're going to come to community college and they're going to try to say, okay, I'm going to get my grades up, take some easy classes, and move on. There's the ones that have to work a job. I was one of them. I fit in a lot of these categories, by the way. I'm not going to say all of them, but this one I did. I worked a job. I worked at Orange Julius in the mall. And so that was kind of neat because I got all the Orange Juliuses I wanted. There's the I'm the commuter for life. And that them are kind of like what I was. I was there 4 years, but I've seen some people that have been there a lot longer. So there's them kind of students. There's the kind that their parents are making them go. Them kind amaze me because they really don't want to be there. You know, because their parents are like, I'm paying for this, you got to go. And then the thing that I really noticed this year especially is there's a lot of adult students, returning students, whether it's the economy or whatever. And you have to minister to them too. And that was really hard for me to get in that mindset. Because, you know, a lot of times I shouldn't be like this, but I sometimes look at them and be like, okay, they don't fit the traditional student that's going to come to a conference like this. So I don't reach out to them. But, you know, God started showing me that you do need to reach out at them. So I've been really working on that. Now, what do all these students have in common? It's pretty simple, right? They all need Jesus. Every one of these students need Jesus. And more importantly, God is, not more importantly, but just as important, God has placed them on the community college for us to get to know them, for them to find Him. I believe that God uses all kinds of different avenues to get our attention. And God knows exactly where we need to be and where He needs to place us to get our attention. Now, if you're in college, one of the best ways to realize that is when you sit in your seat, realize that everyone that God has placed in there, God has placed them in there. They're not there by accident, and neither are you. And that'll really help you if you're in a class that you hate. Just realize that God has placed you in there for a purpose. But it amazes me that even though people are placed there for a purpose, and at a community college, a lot of times, people just act like it's a joke. I remember at TJC back then, they always said TJC stood for Tulsa Joke College. Or they would call it TJ High or 13th grade. You know, all that stuff. And so that's primarily the attitude that they have. And it would always frustrate me to, because I wanted them to go, you know what? God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you. And it's not just not good enough to go somewhere else. Because in God's eyes, community college is the same as everything else. You know, it's just as important. So they all need Jesus. And God has placed them there for a reason. And it's also important to know that God has a plan for them, and God has a plan for you to reach them. Whatever avenue that you are, as a college worker or as a college student, God has plans for you to reach them. And this is the best advice that I could give anyone. So people on the commuter campus, or I say a lot of this just applies to college in general, is you got to get to know them. Really get to know them. Don't just, you know, what's your name? Hey, it's nice to meet you. Get to know them. Find out what's going on in their life. Because I'm amazed at how that makes the biggest difference. The first and most important step to reaching college students at a community college or anywhere else is to develop a relationship with God. And what I mean by that is take care of yourself first. If I could put it simpler, is to become a disciple. That's something that I have to continually learn. Passages of scripture I want to look at. I'm sure that all of you, because I call scripture. The first one is found in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. He said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his soul?" And when I read, it's follow. You know, God has called us to follow Jesus wherever we're at. And so if I'm going to make students, for that matter, it's first. I've got to make sure that I'm following Christ, because I can't tell them to do something that I'm not doing. The other I like to look at is Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33, which looks at the cost. It says, "Large crowds with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000. He will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And this is talking about the cost. And so I like these verses, and I know that you've probably heard them a lot, but I call them the discipleship verses. But there's something that I've got to get down in my life. And I hear this, and I love coming to conferences like this because I hear it again. And I continually have to hear this because I know that I cannot take them somewhere that I've not been. I cannot lead them somewhere that I haven't been. And I constantly hear that. And I come to a place like a conference like this, and I realize that, man, I still got some work to do in my life. I've got to do this. I know that we just heard the thing on the habitudes. I learned that. We went through habitudes with our students this first semester. And I'll tell you, that's a good thing. But that's really what it was all about. It was, you've got to take you first before you can do that with them. And it's true. You can't meet one-on-one with students if you're not doing it yourself. and say, okay, what's God telling you in your quiet time if you're not doing it? So get the basics down, which is, you know, prayer, quiet time, scripture memory, Bible reading. Basically develop a walk with God. I wanted to call that dog, but there's two W's, you know, D-A-W-W-G. But anyway, I thought it'd be funny if I had that. But know this, it's a lifelong process. You're going to mess up. There's times that you're not going to do it. But whenever that is, don't count yourself out. Just start going. Okay, so to me, that's the first step to reaching community students, to reaching college students. Make sure that you're doing it yourself. That's the first step. The second one I'd say is ask God for help. Matthew 9, verses 37 through 38. We also heard this yesterday morning. It says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" Okay, I really like this, and I try to live by this. And this is one thing that I learned is we've got to ask God for help. We can't do it on our own. Whenever I first got back into college ministry and I was given the West Campus by them, they needed someone there. And I was scared because I was like, okay, listen, I don't know a soul. I've got to start a ministry here. I don't know how to do it. I don't know anyone. And so I remember I was thinking of this person. I walked in and I sat in a chair and I was looking around in the student union there. And I said, "All right, God, I need some help. Please send me somebody. I need help on this campus." And you will not believe this. This dude walked in looking like Jesus. Long hair. He had a big cross, like about this big. They called him the big cross guy. It was amazing. It was right after I said that prayer. This guy walked in and everyone's like, "Hey, Jared, what's up?" You know, they all knew this guy. And I was just like, "Oh," you know, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I just prayed this and it actually happened. God is sending me workers. I cannot believe this. And I asked and there it is. And I said, "I've got to get to know that guy. Somehow I got to get to know that guy." I walked up to him and I said, "Dude, I noticed you got a cross. I need you. I need your help. I need your help bad. Because I don't know. We're trying to get a Bible study started here. We're trying to get all this stuff. I need your help." And I said, "I noticed that you know everybody on this campus." And so he's like, "Man, I'll help you out, whatever you need." And it was amazing because it was at that point that I learned, and I always have done this, ask God somewhere where it feels like you're not reaching or you're not making a difference, ask God for help. His word says that he's going to give it to us, and he always does. And can I say that we don't ask God for help enough? And the reason we don't is very simple. We think we can do it on our own. We think our talents is going to do it. We think that if we just, you know, do what we've always done, it's going to work. But here's the thing is I spend so much time and effort trying to make it happen on my own when I really just need to go to God and say, "God, what are you doing? Where are you at work around me? Show me this." So ask God for help. The third thing I would say is become familiar with your environment. In other words, know your soil. Matthew 13 says, "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have quickly because the soil was shallow. Plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Notice there's a thing there with the ear thing. But anyway, know your soil. God telling you to plant your seeds. Whatever campus God has placed you on, become familiar with that campus. That's so important. Some of the ways to do this is to know where the students are hanging out. That's very important. You've got to know where the students are hanging out. And more importantly, go to where they are. If you have a building, get out of it. I promise you that's very important. But if you're on a community call, a lot of us that are in here, sometimes you don't have a building, you know, and so you're kind of blessed there because everything you do has to be on campus. But go to where they are. You're not going to reach them hanging out where they're not going to be. Go to where they are and know this. God is going to open some doors for you. Because what did he say in Matthew 9, 37, 38? He said the harvest is out there. So the first thing I would like to tell you is don't be afraid to invite people to come to your things. Don't be afraid to do that. God will take care of that. And you don't know what God is doing. Here's the way I got plugged in a little bit further as far as on a community college getting plugged in is I went to that, like I shared with you earlier, I went to BSU that first night. Someone said, hey, I seen you there last night. Why don't you come to the table? And I thought I was in. But I didn't know that because I was in now, I assumed that I knew everything. I had all the basics down. And so I get out of my car like the next day, and this other guy goes, hey, I've seen you at BSU. We're time right now in the fireplace lounge. I'm going to pray with us. And I was like, sure, man. I was scared to death because, you know, I'm not really prayed in front of people, but I didn't want them to know that. So I said, okay, I'll go. And so I went. I was scared to death. I thought of my prayer 100 times, you know, when everyone else was praying. I thought of what I was going to say. And I said it and plugged in. But what really got me plugged in is someone invited me. You know, so many times we say, okay, that person's not going to come because, and we'll come up with the reason why they're not going to come if we ever invite them. Don't do that. You know, don't do that. Just invite them and see what happens. What's the worst they can do? Say no. So here's some ways that you can do outreach on a community college campus. First of all, invite. Man, make sure you invite them. Another way is observe. Observe students. Observe what they're doing. Observe what time they're there. Observe what time they're not there. Days they're there. Find out what they're into. Find out who they hang around. Find out. One of the main things I always did at whatever campus I've been on is I try to find them popular guys that know everybody. And even if they don't, even if they're not a Christian, I'm going to hook onto them. Because if I can hook onto them, they can introduce me to people. So observe their schedules. This is very important. Learn students' schedules. Learn when they're in class, when they're not in class. Another thing that really helped me is if you get to know some of the faculty and the students, go to the classes. I've sat in on intermediate algebra classes and realized that I didn't learn anything when I was in college. Just like, I can't do that. You know, I've sat in on classes, and that's amazing because people look at you like you're a new student. A lot of times the teacher will introduce you. A lot of times the teacher will say, hey, stand up and tell them what you do. It's amazing. And you'll be surprised how many teachers will actually let you do that. So go attend their classes with them. And it's really great because you don't have to worry about taking notes. You don't have to worry about learning anything. Just do that. One of the things my old director used to do, he's not in here, but he was in here. His name is Steve Lewis. He would walk us to class because a lot of times people like me had a tendency not going. And so he knew I was quite a bit, and he said, hey, I'm going to walk you to class. So he walked me to class. So that really helped me because, you know, as a commuter student, I came up there to hang out with people. When you invite someone to come to something, this is very important and something I just learned recently. Don't say, hey, come to our meeting. It starts here. Because when you do that, it's intimidating. That's why I would never go. What really helps is if someone would have said, hey, why don't you come to our meeting at 7, but meet me at 6:45 here out in the parking lot. And then we'll walk in together. That will make a huge difference. I promise you. Make sure that you do that. Another thing that's really important on community college campuses is have lots of things on campus events. Have lots of on campus events. Because community college kids want somewhere to hang out. They need something to hang out. They want to go hang out in. They don't want to go hang out at home. Say, hey, come over and hang with my parents. They need a place to hang out. So go hang out with them. You never know what God's going to do, but give them events to hang out. They need a place. One of the things that I think is very important is if you have a worship time, do it on campus. It makes a huge difference. Like I say, we used to do it at Mazio's, and it was kind of fun because you'd hear all the numbers that were ready. Number 4, 6, yours ready. And that got annoying, you know. But whenever we got on campus, and even now, people walk by and they're like, what is this going on? On a weekly basis, if we're having our worship time, they hear the worship music, and they check it out. And they walk by all the time. They peek in, and a lot of times I invite them, come on in. So do your worship time on campus. Be visible. Make sure that you are visible. That is the one thing that if I could give you, it's very important. Get to know the faculty. Find out where they are so you can conveniently run into them. I always used to do that even as a student. There was a teacher at TCC someone told me to take because he wasn't a Christian. They're like, you need to take this guy. He'll make you mad. He's not a Christian. So I did it. And I made sure that I knew where he hung out, where he smoked, so I'd always conveniently smoke. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. I'd always conveniently walk out them doors where I knew he was smoking so I could run into him so I could, you know, make a difference. And you'll be amazed at how you can become a pastor to them. You know, as you'll become their minister. Learn what the students and the teachers' needs are. One thing, they're always hungry, right? And they're always poor. College students are always hungry and always poor. So what's the best thing to do is feed them. If you want to talk to someone, feed them. You feed people, you feed students, spiritual things. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. At a noonday, I can feed them lunch and I can see is lunch guy. You're the free lunch guy or whatever. You know, that's okay with me. As long as you talk to me about Jesus, that's great. Some other ways that we have reached out on community college campus is noondays. Sometimes they get out of hand. Cody is back there. His noonday is like way out of hand. He's got like 500 kids coming all the time. He's got a lot of kids coming, and you know, I don't envy him. But you know, that's our end. On a community college campus, that is the end. That's how you're going to meet people. Yes. It's where we have a free lunch for students. Every Wednesday we do a free lunch, and we have a different church come in, and we generally let them speak, or we have our students speak or whatever, and it gives you a connection. You have them sign stuff, and that's how you'll meet people for sure. And it also gives the churches a chance to be plugged in with you as well. Another thing that really worked for us this year is we handed out Pop-Tarts. It's come in the morning, you're starving. We're like, hey, you want a Pop-Tart? You want a Pop-Tart? And then we'd have something with it, like a little card inviting them to our welcome party or whatever. And it really worked, and it breaks the ice. You can talk to them about anything because you fed them. This is the coolest thing. So hand out Pop-Tarts, Scantrons or something else that you can hand out. I always hear kids go, man, I need a Scantron. I got to go buy a Scantron. So hand them out. In other words, find a way to... But know this, community college students want something to do to hang out with each other. It's amazing what they'll do. They just want to hang out. They just want to be together. So take advantage of this and make sure you provide a lot of opportunities. But here's the thing. Whenever you are providing opportunities, make sure that you're prepared to give an answer. Make sure that you're prepared to give an answer. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Be prepared to give an answer. Because when you're providing opportunities, God is going to provide you an opportunity in the harvest to you. I have two examples of whenever I was in college at TCC that just blew me away. Me and my buddies decided we're going to be an outreach and we're going to tell Jesus. So we decided we're going to carry our Bibles to class. Not in our backpack, but just out like this, you know. Carry a Bible, and we'd set it down on our desk when we went to class. See, we were cut by a witness. We didn't go to class. Set it down in class, and there was the teacher I just told you about that someone told me to take because he wasn't a Christian, and he was going to make me mad. Well, he set up the class in a circle like this, and it started over here and ended over here. Me and my buddy were the last two in that place. And so one day he walks in, and he said, I want y'all to tell me what Jesus looks like. We're going to start at this end of the room and come to this end of the room. And I knew God had set this up because the last two guys that are Christians in the room, the only two guys I knew of that were Christians in the room, were the last two that were going to talk, which is me and my buddy Matt. And so I was excited. And they start going around. The first guy goes, well, he had long hair. They basically, every one of them described the Jesus that we see on TV, right? You know, the American Jesus. And so I'm going to blow these guys out of the water, you know, with all my spiritual knowledge. I'm a Christian. And I looked at my buddy. I'm like, I got this, you know. So when it got to my point, when it got to my turn, I said, okay, here's what I know Jesus looked like. I said, I know he had a beard was ripped out. I know that he had been pretty buff because he's beaten beyond recognition. I said, I know he's more dark complected than what we show him on TV. And, you know, I just gave the perfect answer. I looked at my buddy, and I did this. I was like, top that. You know, and he said, I don't know what Jesus looks like, but if he walked through that door right now, I'd know who he was. And God took over that class. You felt the presence of God. He didn't go like that. He didn't have to, you know. And what I'm saying that is if you're a student, God's going to give you opportunities to share him. You never know. If you're asking God for the harvest, God's going to send people your way. God's going to give you opportunities. But make sure that you're prepared to give an answer. Make sure that you're not just having a bunch of head knowledge, but make sure that you're in tune with the Spirit. Class, I guarantee you, things that made them think about where they were with their relationship with Jesus. One day I was wearing a Falls Creek shirt, 1993. The theme was, "Who is Jesus?" I had a big old Jesus on my shirt. I said, "Who is Jesus?" Hanging out at the BSU table with all my buddies. And this guy named Jay walks by. I was like, "What's up, Jay?" And he goes, "Hey, Shannon, who is Jesus?" Everyone in that cafeteria, not just our table, everyone in the cafeteria, student union, shut up to listen to my answer. And I'm embarrassed to tell you all what I said, especially because it's being recorded. I didn't say he was my savior. I don't know why I brought this up, because now I said he's my main man. That's what I said. You know, I had an opportunity to tell that whole place who Jesus was, but I was not prepared to give an answer. And I've kicked myself to this day because I had a platform. God is going to provide His platform. So make sure that you're always ready to give an answer. It's important to understand that you have no idea what type of people you're going to run into. So make sure that you're always ready for that. Make sure you always have an answer. Know this, that at noondays or whatever, especially at community colleges, you're going to meet a variety of people. You're going to meet some people that test you. You know, you're going to meet them people that are there every single year. You're like, "Haven't you graduated from this 2-year school yet? It's been 10. You know, and they're still there. But know this, God is providing them there. They're in your life for a reason. And know that, be prepared to always give an answer, but don't argue with them. Because I've really ran into that a lot at the commuter campus at TCC, especially at noondays. People want to argue Jesus with you. And our boss is John Strapazon, and I remember one time we had him come speak, and he said this. He said, "If people want to argue with you, and they're trying to argue whether Jesus is real, just before you argue with them, before you talk with them, just say, 'Hey, if I could convince you, if I could answer your question in a way that you're completely convinced that Jesus is real, would you become a Christian?' And if they say no, then say, 'Okay, well, I'm not going to talk to you about it.'" And it was amazing. Because I swear, like, the next day I was at on our West Campus, man, and he just started trying to argue with me. And I was like, "Bam, I'm going to try this." And I did, and it made me, he's like, "Well, no, I wouldn't do that." And I was like, "Well, I'm not going to argue with you then. I'll talk with you, argue with you then." And it took the whole thing to a different level. Then he just wanted to talk with me about Christianity. So that was just something that I really found helpful. And I run into this a lot at the community colleges, that if people find out you're a Christian, they want to talk to you, but a lot of times they want to argue with you. So I would suggest not getting into that. So make sure that you're ready for that, to give an answer. Also, when you give an answer, don't beat around the bush. If God has given you the opportunity to share Christ, whatever opportunity that is, don't beat around the bush. Tell them people that there's a real place called heaven, there's a real place called hell. We don't do that enough. I was in seminary, and professor, he asked us one day, he goes, "How many sermons have you heard in the last year on hell? How many?" And I started thinking in my head, and I was like, maybe 2 or 3 at the most. He said, "All right, let me ask you this. How many sermons have you heard on heaven?" And I was, "Well, maybe 6 or 7. And, you know, most of them are good and all this most of the time in our churches. And I, he goes, "Well, if we truly believe this, and we truly believe that people's destinies, they're going to heaven or hell, why do we not tell them? Why do we not share?" And something clicked in me. First, I got convicted because, like I said, I was a pastor for, you know, 8 years. And I was like, "How many sermons did I preach?" And I started thinking about, in college ministry, how many times did I shy away from telling them? If God has provided you the opportunity, then He's going to take care of it. You know, we in our minds, we justify of why we can't tell them or whatever. And the thing that just blows us away is we're too scared. You know, we're too scared. But if God has set up the opportunity, make sure you're ready to give an answer. And know this, that also, that whenever you are to give an answer, you can't argue anyone into the kingdom. You can't. I wish we could. I've never seen it happen. You know, I've never seen it happen. It's kind of like we kind of think that we had this silver bullet, that whenever they're arguing with us in our head, we're just like, we had this one bullet that if we could just fire it, They'd be like, oh, Jesus is real. You know, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because what we don't realize is it's a spiritual thing. You know, I don't care where you're at. You know, community college, another college, in church, wherever. It's a spiritual thing, and there's a spiritual battle going on there. And they're arguing. I feel bad because I sit there and think, how many times have I tried to talk someone into convincing them that Jesus Christ is real? If I could just have that silver bullet, that one thing that make them say, oh, well, I didn't think of that. I spend more time doing that than I do praying. You know, if I would just pray for that person, and if I spend as much time praying for people as I did trying to convince them it's real, I'd see a lot bigger difference. Know this, God is in control. God's in control of the community college. He's in control of all the colleges. And it comes down to this. Wherever you are, God has placed you there. Whatever college you're at, you know, or whether you're in the church, wherever God is bringing people to you, that's where God has placed you. And God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make accidents. He doesn't say, "Oh man, I didn't know you were serving there." And sometimes I start to think that. You know, sometimes I start to think, "Oh man, I'd do so much better here. I'd be, you know, happier here, or whatever." Man, it doesn't matter. Because that's the most important place, and that's the exact place how God designed you to be. And just be ready to share the gospel wherever you're at. You know, we've got to be ready to share the gospel. We had, one time we had Steve Lewis speak for us back when Tony and Melissa were there. And something he said that has always stuck with me to this point is one of the reasons that the gospel is so hard to share is because we just don't do it. That's profound. Because I always come up with excuses of why I can't share the gospel. And I always say, well, it's hard. And I don't want people not to like me and all this stuff. And he said, you know, simply, we're not doing it. He said, if we would just wake up in the morning, pray and say, God, send someone my way today. Send someone that I can share the gospel with. You will see people come. God will answer your prayer. God is in the business of answering prayers. And so I really started doing this at the colleges where I'm at. I said, God, send someone my way. Send someone to talk to me. I may not know them. I call them divine encounters is what I call them. By accident, especially, and keep that in mind when you're on the campus. Anytime someone meets you, don't be like, hey, that was kind of cool I met them. Know that God sent them to you. Know that they're divine encounters. Jesus had divine encounters throughout his whole life. None of them were by accident. Every one of them was on purpose. Try to keep that in mind because you never know what God is going to do with that person that has met you. So make sure that you realize it's really not hard. It's a lot of times we're just not doing it because we're afraid of stepping on toes. And sometimes you may step on some toes, but if God has sent them to you, he's already doing something before he ever got them to you. So that, to me, that just really has helped me a lot because, you know, on a commuter campus, sometimes you got all walks of life. The other day we had a Bible study going on in our at TCC, and we had like 12 people in there. It was a good day. I don't know what was going on, but I wasn't in there because I was working on seminary work. So I was out there doing my homework, watching them have their Bible study, and this guy over here was playing a guitar. He had real long hair. I actually thought he looked kind of cool, but that's besides the point. He was just like rocking out or whatever, and he looks up and he sees them in there, and he's like, what is going on in there? Heard this. They're having a Bible study. And he's like, what? They're having church here on campus? They can't do that. That just makes me mad. He starts getting ticked off. He's like, that is so wrong. That's just, you know, he goes, they shouldn't be able to come here and have church. He just started going off. And he didn't know that I'm like at the next table. You know, and that's my group of kids in there. So I'm just like, it's kind of interesting. And I started getting mad at him. I started having evil thoughts, you know. And I was just like, man, I can't stand that guy or whatever. And so I kind of just didn't mess with it. You know, I didn't say anything to him because it was going to be out of the flesh if I did. I'm like, forget you, we can worship wherever we want or whatever. And so a couple of days later, I see him sitting by himself just playing the guitar again. I walked up to him and I said, what's up? No, I didn't. I walked up to him and I said, man, I like your guitar. What kind is it? You know, I started talking to him. I started building a relationship with him. He has no idea that I'm a part of that group that he was making fun of. He has no idea that I was at the table next to him. But you know what? I'm starting to build a relationship with him. And that's what matters. To me, that was a divine encounter. I needed to hear that so I know where he stands. I needed to hear that. You know, so just realize that whoever God's placed in your life, God is doing something there. And even the most unlovable, God is doing something. You never know. So that's basically all I have. I'm looking around this room, and a lot of you probably have a lot more knowledge than I have about this stuff. A lot of you I've learned a lot from. So, but, you know, the one thing that I've learned is, if I was going to say anything, if you're somewhere at a community college and you just think, man, I'm just not meeting people, I don't know what's going on, just go in there and ask God to help you. And He'll do it. He'll send you a teacher. He'll send you students. He'll send you somebody. So, do we have any questions? Tony and Melissa will answer all of them. If not, Cody and Rowdy will. Okay.
For me, that's like, I've been so busy with the issue, partly because of the class.
I would say go and get involved. And when I say get involved, go on a trip like this, you know, because to me that's where students really get involved. You know, if they just come to a service, they're just coming. But if you get them to something like this, they connect. You know, if like you're coming to our ministry, right? So get involved, and then whenever you're involved, they're going to see that. They're going to see you telling us hi on campus. They're going to see that. And then if you ever get them to come with you, and you know everyone in the room, you know, they're going to know that something's there, you know. Plus, you know, they'll see a difference, because I'm telling you, college made a difference in my walk with God. I learned how to do everything. I learned how to pastor. I learned all that stuff from college. So I'd say get involved would be the best thing. Yes?
I think you're going to
We do. We try to set up different things where we will intentionally do some things off campus to try to get them involved that way. Like Cody's back here. He's on the west campus of Tulsa Community College, and I'm on the northeast campus. And what we have tried to do is we've tried to do just a worship time that's completely away from campus, you know, because a lot of times they're not on campus. And so we try to think of cool places that they'd want to go. Now, Denver and Tulsa's way different. We came up with the Canes Ballroom because it's kind of a, you know, where a lot of concerts come. And the first time they were all over that. They're like, that's cool, you know. Nowadays it's just changed like that. You know, their interests are, try to find something that's a novelty to them. It's here. That we've talked about and noticed is kids want to be involved in. They want to help people. They want to do, you know, mission projects that you could come up with and say, hey, we're gonna go help these people do this, and they'll sign on for that because people want to help. It's amazing. Students really want to help right now. They're really interested in even doing just local missions. So I would say do something like that, because if you could get them to do that together, they're gonna catch a vision, and they may want to. Yeah. Noonday really helps with that. You know, the free lunch time. That's where I've really reached out to them, because whenever I've done that, they're more approachable. And yeah, it's different for me than probably a lot of people, because as a pastor, I see them in a different light, and I always go to them anyway, gravitate towards them. There was this older man who was probably like in his 70s in the student union, just sitting there by himself, and I couldn't believe it. And I'd ask people, I'm like, who is that? And they're like, I don't know. He's some old man that's coming to school. And so down at his table, I said, man, you have no clue who I am, but I want to get to know you. Tell me your story. And he told me his story, and he said that his wife was in a nursing home, and she had Alzheimer's, and it's driving her crazy, so he's coming back to school to get his mind off of it. You know, and out of that, we developed a relationship. You know, so, I'd say they need people to talk to. So if you see them, you know, go talk to them and realize that God, the main thing that God has really shown me, especially being on the Northeast campus where I'm at, is God has placed them there just like He has the younger students. You got to go after them, you know, because God doesn't really distinguish between traditional and non-traditional, you know. And I've been really praying about this, and I believe that God has told me to maybe do a Bible study geared towards them on that campus, you know. So that's what I'm going to try this next semester. Anyone else? I have no idea what time it is. It's probably like 12:40. Huh? Well, there we go. That's good. We'll beat the other crowds to lunch. No, I'm just kidding. That was recorded. I was kidding. God, thank you for today. I just thank you for this opportunity. And God, I just thank you for college kids, their hunger and their desire, and they rub off on us, Lord. Or we want to be like a lot of times while we do this, Lord. And it's just their excitement. God, I just pray for us as we're. Prince, I pray that you'll continue to speak to us and teach us. God, I pray that some of these ideas that we talked about, we'll be able to apply them, Lord. And God, just watch over and take care of us. And just thank you for all you do. And help us in the rest of this day to listen and be attentive and do more than just listen, that we'll apply it to our lives. It's in your wonderful name we pray. Amen.